Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Welcome to Faith Radio Mornings. Today is the 17th of September, believe it or not, as we're moving towards winter here ever so quickly. And as the sun is rising this morning, we celebrate on Faith Radio Mornings the fact that the Son of God is risen, and that is good news. And as we've referenced throughout the whole first hour of the show, it is news that is particularly needed, it seems, given the ongoing hurricane event on the east coast of the United States that has really wreaked quite a bit of devastation thus far. We had Bruce Poss from Samaritan's First person in hour one, and just giving us a ground level look and how the impact of these storms really affects people emotionally and spiritually and physically. You can get involved as a believer with Samaritan's Purse and highly encourage that, because the suffering and the difficulty is real, and it's all too common in this life. So it's in times like this that we need a reminder that as followers of Jesus, we walk out life in a kingdom that has no end. It doesn't mean that our hardship and our difficulties end right away just because we say yes to God, but it does mean there's always hope and always future as we wait for the day when the tears are wiped away. And it's from that perspective that we talk about the news from both a balanced perspective. We are not Democrat or Republican. We are not liberal or conservative. We are followers of Jesus and trying to walk this out together. So this is Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, joined in studio by familiar names Logan Rausch, who is running the sound, doing a great job all morning, keeping things going smoothly, along with Paul Perot in the newsroom, who is feeding me news all throughout the morning, breaking news as it happens, as they say, as well as just all the stories that would be of relevant interest for us. And after that first hour, that's so great, we have a equally good second hour ahead. I had a conversation last week with singer-songwriter Andrew Peterson, who is on tour called the Bible Tour and is coming to the Minneapolis-St. Paul area this week on Friday night. But it's coming all around the Midwest and even around the country, where Andrew and a series of Christian artists are working together to really proclaim the wonders of the kingdom through music. If you know Andrew Peterson, you know that his music is filled with a depth and a richness and an anchoring historically in the kingdom. It's not just fad music that he wants to write. It really has depth and substance, and he does a great and accessible job talking about that. And in the second half of this hour, one of our favorites, Dr. David Aikman, who's our foreign affairs correspondent, will be joining the program. We'll talk about everything from the events in our country going on, as well as what's happening in the United Kingdom and Brexit potentially falling apart there, as well as what's happening in the Middle East and Syria and some of the tensions there. So lots more to come here on Faith Radio Mornings. As we get started for this hour, we'll read the verse about comfort in the midst of suffering and difficulty that we also read at the top of the show. It comes from 2 Corinthians 1, where Paul writes this, a man who is very familiar with suffering and the need for comfort. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who does comfort us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in trouble. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." So if you or someone you know is in need of comfort this morning, again, whether impacted by the events of Florence or some of the many difficulties of life, just take solace to know that we have a God of all comfort who walks alongside of us. Andrew Peterson up next on Faith Radio Mornings.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, and delighted to be joined on the line by musician and author Andrew Peterson. I'm sure many of you listeners know his work and plays just often. Has been writing for quite some time. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. How's it going?
Well, it's going well. Again, just love having you on the program like this. I know you've been doing music for how long now? You're writing songs for quite a while.
Oh, man. The year after high school is when I had my first, gig. So what was that, 25 years ago, something like that? Long enough. Older than I should.
I know. I feel the same way too often. Andrew, I mean, when you first got started, what are some changes you've seen, you know, now in the music industry, especially the Christian music industry, versus what it was like 25 years ago?
Oh, man. Well, there have been some huge changes. Man, mainly, like, my first record came out in, like, the very end of the glory days of kind of the music business. And so it was, like, it came out in 99 or 2000, right before 9/11, you know, which is where, you know, the economy suffered, and then Napster and downloading / stealing music became kind of a thing. And then all of a sudden record labels were foundering and shutting down. So, and back then, like the old model, there was so much money going around. And then the kind of the advent of everything from iTunes to Pro Tools, where you can record an album on your computer, it just kind of like leveled the playing field, which is wonderful in so many ways that like anybody can make a record now. The problem is there's so much music that it's easy to get lost in the shuffle. So I don't know. There's just been so many changes, but it's been an exciting time. I think there's been like there's so much good music out there, especially quote unquote Christian music. That when I hear people gripe about Christian music nowadays, saying that, you know, it's all cheesy or it's shallow, I just kind of want to be like, well, you're just listening to the wrong stuff. Mm. You have to dig just a little bit, and you'll find this wonderful upswell of the church producing some of the most beautiful music that that I've heard. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is. You know, we recently we had Keith Getty on the program, and was just talking about that sort of new school, old school hymn in Christ Alone that just had this substance and this depth to it. And he referenced people like you and Fernando Ortega as well as in that same vein of creating music. Obviously you're making a vocation out of this as well on some level, but how do you balance, you know, sort of the fad one-hit wonder kinds of songs with really wanting to create timeless stuff that's anchored both in history but will also persist into the future?
Well, I've never been interested in the one-hit wonder thing. Like, the arc of my career has been right or wrong. Like, I just kind of when I started doing music for, you know, thinking of it as a calling, as a, you know, an outflow of my Christianity, it was because of Rich Mullins. It was like having this encounter with Rich Mullins' music and seeing what it was that music could do, what the Lord could do through a song that was like really poetically written and surprising in its beauty, and, or the story or the grittiness or the whatever. Like, I just encountered something when I was, I guess, 19 years old that completely changed my paradigm. Like, I just realized, Lord, I remember pretty much exactly this. I said, Lord, if you can use whatever gifting I have to wake up a longing in people the way that like Rich Mullins and then later C.S. Lewis and people like that woke up this longing for the new creation, if I can do that, that's what I want to do, if you'll let me. And so you know, over the last whatever 20 some odd years of being in Nashville, while things have, you know, ebbed and flowed and things have become cool and uncool and thing, I I'm kind of stubborn, and I just decided, thanks to the solidarity of a wonderful community of singer-songwriters and authors here in town, they just remind me, like, there's a higher call than just trying to sell records or books. There's a higher call than trying to be relevant, quote-unquote, or cool. It's like, no, the call is to just try to be obedient with your gifting, you know, and trust that the Lord is going to provide on the other side. And I think, you know, in Eugene Peterson's words, which he got from somebody else, but a life of faith is a long obedience in the same direction.
Mm.
And so that's kind of been what I've tried to do. I'm not saying I've succeeded at it perfectly, but just keeping my head down and going, you know what, there may be, you know, there was a moment when, you know, early in my career, I had some songs that were on the radio. And then the winds changed, and worship music became cooler than storytelling songwriter music, and that was kind of it. You know, I had a few songs that popped up on the radio every now and then, so I had a choice: do I keep writing, trying to chase that rabbit? You know, do I keep trying to make it so that, oh, but I've got to have songs in the radio, or do I just keep writing songs that are a blessing to my neighbor, or songs that I'm kind of inspired to write because they're the kinds of songs that have shaped my own heart. So sticking to those guns over the long haul, I think, is a better way to think about a career in music.
Well, and it just speaks, you use that word relevance there too. I mean, relevance so often gets to be this fleeting idea of whatever is current, whatever is kind of trendy. But it seems to me, Andrew, that relevance in the kingdom has to do with these long themes of redemption and hope and restoration and suffering and turmoil and all of that, that the relevance, it's as relevant from 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, as it will be 2,000 years from now. So to chase the trends maybe is tracing a bit of an illusory image.
Oh, I totally think that. I mean, and you can take that too far. And, like, I think it's important to, like, pay attention to, like, movements in art and music. And I think it's good to have, to be able to have some fluency in the language that, like, my kids, for example, are speaking when they're all teenagers. And so, like, I want to know the music that they love. I want to make music that will get to them, too. So it is important to, like, pay some attention to it, but at the same time, like, man, if that's not what you're called to, then the more important thing is seeing the gifting that God's given you as a way of laying down your life for your neighbors or your family or your friends. Like, how do you love people best with the gifting that you've been given for the sake of the kingdom? And so and that can look a lot of different ways, you know. And so anyway, yeah, I agree. There's nothing more relevant than gospel of Jesus. And it's always, always relevant. And so singing about that or finding ways to surprise people with the wonder of the gospel, using whatever means are at your disposal, you know, based on your talent or your situation in life, I think that's the calling. That's better than radio play.
Yeah, and I know I'll say we've got 5 kids at home, and they're always streaming your music through our house. So you must have hit the relevant card, you know, through your storytelling and these themes throughout time, Andrew. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I know you're traveling to the Minneapolis area where we're located and highlight some of the concerts that's coming up and what it means to be traveling with fellow musicians on this journey ahead. So more with Andrew Peterson coming up on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Peter Kapsner, joined on the line by singer, songwriter, author Andrew Peterson. We've just been talking about the scope of Christian music and just the history, longevity, relevance within all of that. And Andrew, I know you're coming to town where we are in the Minneapolis area on the 21st of September, part of the Bible tour, coming to Cedar Valley Church. Tickets still available for our listeners to come to that. And you referenced in our first segment, just you're part of a whole community of musicians in the Nashville area. What is it like to travel with other musicians and tour with them versus when you're doing it on your own?
Oh man, it's a wonderful thing. Partly because so much of the community that are here in Nashville travels, you know, I see my friends more when I'm on tour than when I'm not, you know what I mean? It reminds me, maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I was in this place where I realized I needed a mentor. I needed, like, older men in my life that I could talk to. And so I emailed Michael Card, who's, if you don't know, he's an author, one of the most wonderful teachers, but he's also a, you know, pretty well-known Christian musician.
Yeah, phenomenal. Yeah.
Anyway, I emailed him and was like, hey, man, gave him this long page-long pitch about, you know, I wouldn't want to bother you, but if you would be willing, we knew each other a little bit at that point, could you mentor me? And he emailed back and said, I don't want to be your mentor, but I will be your friend. Which was wonderful. He said after that, he was like, and what I found in this town is that the only real time you get to spend with your friends is when you're on the road. So why don't you hop on the bus and come do some shows with me? And so, that turns out to be true, that I have some of the dearest friends in my life, that once you get home, you're taking care of family and your church and mowing your yard and you don't see them, but as soon as you're on the bus, it's like, oh, there they are, you know? So I'm super pumped about the tour coming up because it's like the camaraderie that happens on the bus is as great as the music.
Well, and I would imagine, too, just the shared voice where you're not just trying to make a name for yourself all the time, but to share the voices of the kingdom together. They're just, I would imagine there's got to be some strength in doing these, you know, dates night in and night out.
Oh, I'm so sure, yeah. And, you know, I'm just like the... You know, usually in these situations, I think all musicians carry a great deal of insecurity with them. But like, I'm going into this tour thinking, like, I'm the biggest nerd in the room. You know, like I'm the guy who is probably the worst guitar player and the worst singer. And you know, I've got so much to learn from these people. So anytime you go into a situation like that where you're surrounded by what you think of as cool people and then what you experience is grace and kindness, it's just like an affirmation of the gospel. So I'm super pumped about spending this time with them.
That's Andrew Peterson, singer and author and songwriter. And Andrew, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about some of the stories that you've written. I know they're on the five book series is on the shelves in my kids' room, and I haven't read them yet, but they are raving about them. And Andrew, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but I actually had some friends reference them the other day, and they put them in the same category as the Sacred Lord of the Rings category. Andrew, we're talking about On the Edge of the Dark Sea of Darkness series, and here, tell us about the stories, Andrew.
Well, it's called the Wingfeather Saga. It's four books long, and with a couple of like ancillary appendices. Whenever somebody tells me that, like, "Hey, I'm reading your books, and then I'm going to read the Narnia books," or the other way around, "I'm going to read the Narnia books, and then yours are next," I always tell them, "Read something really bad in between, like read Captain Underpants or something to cleanse the palate. don't hold mine too closely to those." But at the same time, what I was shooting for was a story that would move people the same way those books moved me, you know. And so to hear that they resonate with somebody is a great gift. And it's just been a really fun journey. I wanted to be an author before I wanted to be a songwriter. So so it was, you know, when my kids were five or six, I read them The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and kind of made it through all seven books, and just remembered all over again how beautiful it is when a story surprises you with grace and with that kind of beauty. And so I thought, Lord, once again, if you let me do this, you know, I want to do this for you and your glory, whatever. And not to try to tell some allegorical, you know, lessony tale, but as a Christian, I just was like, I just want to tell the best fantasy adventure story that I can possibly tell, the kind of story I would have read when I was 12. And I want to see how the Holy Spirit is going to show up in the story. And so to hear that he has used it in that way is just a great encouragement.
Yeah, and you referenced Narnia, and that way, you know, obviously there is allegorical dimensions to Lewis's work, but I think he would say he just wanted to write a good story. And you know, you read that last battle, the final book in the series, and that picture of further up and further in is these pictures of heaven. There's nothing like story to draw us into the depth of the kingdom. And I would imagine you find some of that both in your songwriting and in your author work.
Well, hopefully. I mean, that's the dream, you know. I think, you know, talking about C.S. Lewis, like the, you know, the Sehnsucht idea, this German word, Sehnsucht, which means kind of an inconsolable longing. That thing, that feeling that I think we all are familiar with on some level, that those moments where you just feel this ache for something that you can't put your finger on, you can't name it. It's painful and it's wonderful at the same time. Like Lewis talks about how those moments in his own life were what led him to Christianity. Like they were almost like breadcrumbs, you know, like whether it was seeing an Arthur Rackham illustration in a book about Valkyries, or you know, it was like some toy in a back garden. Like there were these moments where he just felt like the veil got thin and he felt this longing wake up. And a lot of times it was art. Art ends up being the means through which that thing wakes up in us, this yearning for another world. And so, yeah, I think that's in some ways, that's kind of the kind of art that I want to make. It's like, I want to not just tell funny stories. I don't want to just give people an emotional thrill. Like what I want to do is try to tell the truth as beautifully as I can so that I can, you know, hopefully, and it's not, the thing is, like, as I'm talking, I'm realizing this isn't all up to me. It's like, it's what you shoot for, but yes, so little control over it. But when I hear that somebody finished the fourth book of the Wingfeather Saga and that longing woke up in them for the new creation, for, you know, the moment when we see Christ face to face, whatever it may be, like, that's like what thrills me as an artist.
Yeah, it's Andrew Peterson, singer and songwriter, author. Andrew, we have just a little less than a minute left. Can you just talk about, for our listeners, we talked with Keith Getty again about this too, that music really isn't just something that leads up to a sermon in the church. I mean, it really is a profound and beautiful way through art and music to experience God in our lives.
Yeah, I think so. I've been thinking lately about how I almost wish we could change the terminology, because I think that a little bit of damage has been done by making so much of worship music or being a worship leader, when it seems like the music does much more than just give us an avenue to worship God. Like, I met a guy not long ago, and I said, oh, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I'm the chief musician at my church. And I said, you're the chief musician? Where's that from? And he was like, oh, it's in the Bible. And you realize that in the Psalms, you know, like some of them says for the chief musician. And so his point is just like, it's a way of reminding the people in the audience or the congregation that music is more than just worship. Music is a way to learn doctrine. Music is a way to rehearse the Bible stories. Music is a way to like be unified in what we believe. So it does a lot more than merely give us a voice to worship God. So, yeah, I think paying more attention to the breadth of a gift that music can be in the church is a pretty important thing.
Andrew, thanks just for the time and just talking us through just so many of the dimensions of this music and the storytelling as part of our faith. We're coming on tour here into the Minneapolis area on the 21st of September. Tickets still available with a whole series of artists. Highly recommend taking a night out of your life and experiencing the worship. So, Andrew, have a great rest of your day.
Thank you guys so much.
We'll be back with more here on Faith Radio Mornings. I appreciate that breakpoint message here on Faith Radio Mornings. I know I saw some headlines this past weekend where some certain groups came out and suggested that the former gulags or these imprisonment camps were very effective for re-educating and reorienting people about how they should think. And boy, it seems like both sides of the conversation these days, right, are trying to force everybody to think like they do, whether it's conservative or liberal. And it just, if we have space for conversation back and forth, what we can learn from one another in the dialogue, it seems to be a pathway forward back towards civility, hopefully. Well, more to come here with Dr. David Aikman, one of our favorites on the program, to talk about news from a global affairs perspective. And we're going to talk a bit about the ongoing Brexit situation and perhaps the collapse of populism in the United Kingdom, as well as the increasing tension with Russia, Syria, and the Middle East, coming up next on Faith Radio Mornings. Prior to our fall share event last week, we had the opportunity to speak with Dr. Raleigh Washington about the importance of white people and black people working together across racial lines if we're really going to experience reconciliation.
But Martin Luther King, he embraced whites and Hispanics, Native Americans, and when he marched, they were with him. If you look at any of the trips, you will see that he walked hand in hand with people of other races. As a result of doing that, it makes all the difference in the world. When they marched across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, it was white people in that crowd, almost equal number of blacks, that made all of the difference. So when we stand hand in hand for what is right, especially from a Christian perspective, there are white brothers and sisters who will stand with you to make a difference. Love, humility, patience, and honoring what is right will always make the best difference in a protest. And as Christians, we pray for change and not necessarily protest in the wrong way.
That was Dr. Raleigh Washington. So appreciate his perspective that's balanced on racial reconciliation and somebody who's done it for the better part of 40 years. If you want to catch that entire segment, go to myfaithradio.com, search for racial reconciliation or Raleigh Washington. It's a fabulous interview. Well, I see that we have our friend Dr. David Aikman on the line coming to us from Ireland, so we'll take a short break. And when we come back, we'll get into the news from a global perspective with David Aikman.
Ever wish your daughter would knock off all the chatter, 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 and quit all the silly, dramatic girl talk? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. If your daughter is a drama queen, let me challenge you to do something counterintuitive. Stop, listen, and be grateful that she's sharing with you. Listening to your teen can go a long way in developing a strong relationship. If your teen becomes a little annoying when she shares openly with you and you miss it by checking your email or zoning out, your teen may quit sharing altogether. Be thankful your daughter is spilling her thoughts with you. Continue to build trust with her. Don't miss out. So, Mom, Dad, hang in there. Your drama queen needs you to listen.
Want to hear Mark in person? For a list of upcoming events, go to ParentingTodaysTeens.org. That's ParentingTodaysTeens.org.
My name is Bond, James Bond.
Now, Dr. Aikman, in terms of what's coming up here in the UK, and you've been in journalism for, you know, a lifetime and worked with Time magazine for over 20 years, and I'm curious, has it always been such politics of fear around the country? I mean, obviously, there's the fear that if the UK was to actually leave, this is going to be catastrophic. We saw a lot of fear in the political cycle of 2016 in the United States and now at the midterms. Has it always been a politics of fear that we better not choose that pathway or else we're going to melt down?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there was a small majority, but definitely a majority of Britons who wanted to leave, who voted to leave in 2016. And the mainstream political corpus of the country, both Labour and Conservative, says the British people have spoken, they want to leave, so let's get on with it. And the issue now is, how are the negotiations to leave being handled? A lot of people in the Conservative Party say Theresa May is not doing a good job. We may need a leadership change, but that would be catastrophic because it would probably lead to new elections, which Labour might win.
Is there precedent, whether it's in the United States or in the United Kingdom or somewhere else globally, where such a substantive decision was made by the people that then the government would backtrack and reoffer another opportunity again to change something like this? I mean, it seems almost unprecedented.
No, I can't think of any sort of movement to quit a country that has been, or to quit an organization, an international organization, which has been rescinded by a second referendum. I don't think that's taken place anywhere. And of course, many people are saying, the pro-European Remainers in the UK are saying, look what we've done by voting to leave, we're stirring up all kinds of trouble in other European countries, which are increasingly discontented with Brussels, and the EU itself may break up.
It's Dr. David Aikman coming to us from Ireland, who joins us each week on Faith Radio Mornings to talk about news from a global perspective. And I'd be curious, Dr. Aikman, as you're watching some of the 2018 midterm cycle here in the United States, this is sort of the appropriate way, if you didn't like the decisions from a couple of years ago, that you can exercise your right to vote to possibly change the future, right?
Well, that's right. I mean, everybody's watching the midterms over here in Europe because the possibility that the Democrats might retake the House and thereby launch an impeachment process against President Trump alarms a lot of people here because they think that would lead to very adverse consequences in the global economy.
Well, and to that end as well, we're seeing some of the elections in France. We see what's happening in Greece. I know the news likes to focus on things that are a little bit more negative, a little bit more sensational from time to time. Are things teetering, you know, as much as we think they might be? I was just in conversation with somebody yesterday that just really felt like, gosh, we're on the edge of a global meltdown, or is this just part of how things go?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think there are serious concerns. This is the 10th anniversary of the collapse of Lehman Brothers in the United States, which launched the Great Recession of 2008. And a lot of people, especially in the UK, who really suffered from that catastrophic collapse in global trade, are worried that the same conditions that had existed before the American collapse are building up again in the United States. Whether that's the case or not, I don't know, but many people fear it might be.
Well, and certainly there's more tension than just in some of the Western countries. We're seeing ongoing tension in the Middle East. I know when we chatted last week, we didn't get a chance to get to the Russia-Syria-Middle East conversation. Can you give our listeners a bit of an update of what's happening in that part of the world where we just seem to see ongoing turmoil?
Well, what's happened is that the government of Bashar Assad, backed by Russian air power, has basically recaptured all of the territory of Syria that was for a short time occupied by various opposition forces, many of them unfortunately allied with the Islamic State. And if they succeeded, perhaps posing a major threat to the secular government of Assad in Syria. And of course, if the opposition were to overthrow Assad, that would make life extremely difficult for the Russians, who have an air base and a naval base on Syrian soil, which is why the Russians have firmly supported Assad, and they are taking part in a furious bombing campaign against opposition targets in Idlib province. And the city of Idlib has an estimated 3 million inhabitants, many of them refugees from fighting throughout Syria. And if there were a frontal assault, the UN is saying it could lead to catastrophic humanitarian consequences as people tried to flee the city.
Well, and what is the upside or possibility of hope within Syria? Because it seems, as I've followed it the last couple of years, the option has been that maybe somebody like ISIS could take over the country in this radical form of very oppressive Islam. Or if it's not that, then it's Assad and his regime that's known to use chemical weapons. Is there any upside possibility of a future government here that seems healthier?
Well, there really isn't. I mean, for a time, the United States supported a non-Islamist kind of neutralist, centrist, anti-Assad group, but they didn't have much success. And then the main fighters to succeed in removing the Islamic State occupation of cities that they'd occupied since 2014 were the Kurds. And of course, the Kurds are a thorn in the throat, not only of Syria, but of Iraq and Iran. The Iranians have a big stake in keeping the Assad regime afloat, because Hezbollah fighters, who are Shiite Muslims, have a prominent role in the governance of Lebanon, and they've been fighting in this war on the Assad side as well. So it's a very, very complicated situation with not very happy prospects right now.
It sure does seem like a tangled web that's being woven over there. I'd be curious, one more question on this before transitioning over to some of the China conversations, is what role does Turkey have in this situation in Syria? Obviously, we in the United States have increased tensions with Turkey recently. They play a role kind of as a gateway into Syria, from what I understand.
Well, they do. And Turkey has been the main backers of many of the opposition groups fighting against Assad, who have been backed into a corner in Idlib, in the city. And so the Russians tried to have an agreement with the Iranians and the Turks about how they would finish off the project of uniting the country by conquering the opposition in Idlib. And the Turks pulled out. They said, we don't want to discuss this. And so it's very, very confusing. And, you know, you've got British and American soldiers who were part of advisory groups to the opposition. Some of them are still holed up in Idlib. Who can rescue them? Could the Turks do that? Would they be willing to do that? It's a very, very confusing and discouraging situation.
Well, Dr. Aitman, we appreciate you coming on to try to unwind some of that in the Middle East. Of course, there's more headlines, too, that are worth attending to, and that includes some of the economic freefall situation we've seen out of the socialism in Venezuela. And it sure sounds like maybe they're entering into strange bedfellows with China in terms of trying to get some sort of economic stability moving forward.
Well, that's right. The Chinese recently signed a deal with Venezuela for a bigger slice of their oil production. It wasn't stated how much the Chinese had offered in financial assistance, but obviously the Venezuelans were desperately reaching out to the Chinese to get some help surviving as their economy continues its dramatic implosion. Venezuela is one of the countries whose leadership has demonstrated that if you have the wrong intentions, you are going to bring a country's economy downhill very fast. And unfortunately, that has happened.
Well, I'd be curious, too, because we see the word socialism applied to the Venezuelan economy and what the meltdown is that's happening there. I understand that the United Kingdom, at least by some, would suggest that it's also a socialist kind of economy. What's the difference between the UK and Venezuela? Why the stability in one versus the other?
Well, the UK is still a mixed economy in that capitalist companies are still very productive. They provide the main system of economic growth and rising prosperity. And there are obviously regulations on how capitalist countries operate in Britain. And of course, there is a socialized welfare system with socialized medicine operating. But by and large, it is still a free country in most respects. Whereas Venezuela has imposed on its people an absolute sort of cast iron mask of socialism in all its facets, in every part of the economy, the government, the legislature, the military, and they are really trying to turn Venezuela into a landlocked version of Cuba, with a lot of Cubans actually providing assistance. So it's a pretty desperate situation.
Oh, Dr. Aikman, thank you for coming on again on Faith Radio Mornings. There's just so many complicated headlines. I feel like we could talk for hours on this, but we appreciate the 20 minutes you take to kind of talk us through these things from a Christian perspective.
All right, that's great. So nice to be on. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, we'll chat with you next week, Dr. Aikman. We'll take a break, and we will wrap up our show here for Faith Radio Mornings. Well, as we wrap up our show here for Faith Radio Mornings on the 17th of September, we will close with the Bible verses that we've been reading from about comfort from 2 Corinthians 1, where Paul writes, in the midst of all of this difficulty, that praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Hopeful message, hopefully, for you today as we talked about their hurricane headlines and so many of the difficult events globally. We will continue to talk about them from a Christian perspective on Faith Radio Mornings.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.